everyone, and welcome back. We're diving deep today.
Ooh, sounds exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about some really interesting new research about sleep apnea.
Okay.
And its connection to heart health.
All right.
And we're looking specifically at this 2025 research article from Archivos de Bronconeumologia.
Excellent journal.
Yeah, a very prestigious medical journal. So
yeah,
we're looking at some good stuff here. Some
cutting edge.
Yeah, cutting edge research and basically challenging how we think about assessing risk when it comes to sleep apnea.
Oh,
so I get... we're talking about obstructive sleep apnea or OSA.
Right.
And as I understand it, this is when your breathing repeatedly stops and starts during sleep.
That's it.
And it's incredibly common.
It is.
I mean, we're talking almost a billion people worldwide.
Yeah, it's a global health problem.
Huge.
For sure.
Yeah, and the real concern with OSA isn't just the snoring, but it's the impact that these breathing interruptions have on your heart.
Right, right.
So
yeah, each time you stop breathing, your blood oxygen levels go down.
Yeah.
And that puts a strain on your cardiovascular system.
Makes sense. And I've always heard that there's a link between sleep apnea and things like high blood pressure and stroke and even heart failure, but I never really understood why.
Yeah, it's a pretty well-established link now.
Okay.
OSA is linked to a whole range of cardiovascular issues.
Got it.
Like you said, hypertension, stroke, heart failure, coronary artery disease. Even, you know, traditionally, the severity of OSA has been measured using something called the apnea hypopnea index, or AHI.
Right, AHI. I've heard of that.
Yeah, and AHI basically just focuses on how many times your breathing stops per hour of sleep.
Okay.
But this new research is suggesting that AHI alone might not be the whole story.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's like, you know, if you're counting waves hitting the shore, AHI is just counting how many waves there are.
Okay.
But it's not really telling you how big those waves are or how much force they're hitting the shore with.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. And that's kind of what this research is getting at. We need to look beyond just the frequency of breathing interruptions.
Okay.
And consider other factors that might be contributing to the stress on the cardiovascular system.
So what else should we be looking at?
Well, this study, the APOCES study, looks at two other ways of measuring OSA severity, hypoxic burden, or HB, and then something called the sleep apnea-specific pulse rate response, or HOJAR.
Okay, so two new metrics to consider.
Right.
First up, what is hypoxic burden?
So hypoxic burden, or HB, measures the total amount of oxygen deprivation you experience during sleep.
Okay.
So it takes into account how low your oxygen levels get and how long they stay low for.
Interesting.
So it's not just about how many times you stop breathing.
Okay.
But also how severe those drops in oxygen are and how long they last.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then what about HHR? What is that measuring?
AHR is all about your heart's reaction to those drops in oxygen. So it measures how much your heart rate increases each time you have an apnea event.
So each time you stop breathing.
Yeah, basically every time you start breathing, your body kind of freaks out a little bit. Your heart rate jumps up to try to compensate for that lack of oxygen.
Right.
And EHR is measuring how big that jump is.
I see. So are they saying then that a bigger jump in heart rate could be a sign that your cardiovascular system is under more stress?
That's what the research seems to suggest.
Okay, so in this study, they had 296 participants, all between the ages of 20 and 65.
Right.
And no pre-existing health conditions.
Yeah, all healthy individuals.
And they tracked everybody's AHI, HB, EAHR, and also how long their oxygen saturation stayed below 90%, which they called T90.
Yeah, that's another important metric.
Okay, so they're tracking all of these different things, and they were looking for signs of what they called subclinical atherosclerosis.
Right, subclinical atherosclerosis.
So what is that exactly?
Basically, it refers to early signs of plaque buildup in the arteries. So it's like, you know, if you imagine your arteries as pipes, subclinical atherosclerosis is like the rust that starts to form on the inside of those pipes.
Oh, I get it.
You can't see it at first.
Right.
But over time, it can build up and cause blockages.
So these are problems that could lead to heart issues down the road, but that you might not even know are happening.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to catch it early.
So what did they find? Did these new metrics like HB and AHR actually show any connection to these signs of early atherosclerosis?
They did, and this is where things get really interesting.
Okay.
The strongest connection they found was actually with HR.
Really?
Yeah.
Even more so than the total oxygen deprivation measured by HI.
Yes, that's right.
So you're saying this simple measurement, something that can be taken from a home sleep test,
Yeah.
could actually tell us more about heart problems than the traditional AHI.
Potentially, yes.
Wow, that's huge.
It is a significant finding.
So how much higher does your AHR need to be to start getting concerned about these heart issues?
Well, the study found that even a small increase in AHR was associated with a greater carotid intima media thickness, or CIMT.
CIMT.
Yeah, that's a measure of the thickness of the artery walls in your neck.
Okay.
And it's a common indicator of early atherosclerosis.
I see. So a thicker CIMT means a higher risk of heart problems down the line.
Right.
But if a higher AHR is bad news, then why would that be a stronger predictor in this study than hypoxic burden? Wouldn't a high hypoxic burden also put a lot of stress on your heart?
That's a great question, and honestly, we need more research to fully understand why. One theory is that those sudden, sharp increases in heart rate, the ones measured by AHR, might actually be more damaging to the arteries than a more sustained but less intense oxygen deprivation.
Oh, interesting.
It's like, you know, if you think about slamming a door repeatedly versus just leaning against it constantly, both create stress, but in different ways, you know? And it could be that those sudden spikes in heart rate are like slamming the door on your arteries,
I see.
causing more wear and tear over time.
That's a really good way to put it.
And it's also worth noting that in this particular study, the traditional AHI was not significantly associated with either CIMT or the presence of atheroma plaques.
Really?
Yeah.
So even though AHI is the standard measurement for sleep apnea, it might not be giving us the full picture when it comes to predicting cardiovascular risk.
That seems to be the case, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely challenging our assumptions about how we assess sleep apnea and its potential impact on heart health.
So if AHR is the star of the show here, then why would those heart rate spikes be so bad for your arteries? What's the mechanism there?
Well, think about it this way. Every time your heart rate jumps up like that, it's like your heart is working overtime, straining to compensate for the lack of oxygen and all that extra effort, could be contributing to damage and inflammation in the artery walls, making them more susceptible to plaque buildup.
So it's not just the lack of oxygen that's the problem.
Right.
It's the way your body reacts to it
Exactly.
that might actually be doing the real damage.
Yeah, it's a complex interplay of factors.
This is fascinating. It's like a whole new way of looking at sleep apnea and its impact on the heart.
It is, and it's really exciting to see this kind of research emerging.
Absolutely. But
Ah.
this was just one study.
Right.
Where do we go from here?
Well, we definitely need more research to confirm these findings,
Of course.
but it's definitely a fascinating starting point, and it opens up a lot of new avenues for investigation.
For sure. I'm really intrigued to see where this research leads.
Me too.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's take a quick recap of what we've learned so far.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. So we've learned about this UHR,
Right.
this heart rate spike thing,
Yeah.
and how that could be a real game changer when it comes to understanding sleep apnea's impact on the heart.
For sure.
But what does that actually mean for you, the listener? Like, what
Well,
could we do with this information?
yeah. Well, one of the most exciting things about AHR is that it can be easily obtained from a home sleep test.
Oh, okay. So no need to go into a sleep lab and
Yeah,
hook yourself up to all those.
it's much more accessible
Okay,
than whatever
good.
it is.
And if it's accessible, then that
Yeah.
means we could potentially identify people who are at risk
Yeah.
even before they have like noticeable symptoms.
Exactly. Early detection is key.
Okay, so let's say someone takes a home sleep test and they find out that they have a high AHR.
Okay.
What can they do about it?
Well, that's where this research gets really interesting because it could potentially change how we approach sleep apnea treatment.
In what way?
So right now, treatment decisions are largely based on AHI.
Right.
But if AHR proves to be a more reliable predictor of cardiovascular risk,
Okay.
then it could become the new gold standard for guiding those decisions.
So someone with a relatively low AHI, but a high AHR, they might actually need more aggressive treatment than we previously thought.
Potentially, yeah.
Wow.
We need more research to confirm this,
Sure.
but it's a fascinating possibility.
It is.
It could be a big step towards personalized medicine, really tailoring treatment plans based on an individual's specific risk factors.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It really highlights just how much we still don't know about sleep apnea.
Absolutely, it's a complex condition.
And beyond the medical side of things, are there any lifestyle changes that people can make to maybe help manage OSA and reduce these heart rate spikes?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, with
Like,
blood.
lifestyle changes can play a huge role in managing OSA.
Okay.
So, for example, losing weight if you're overweight or obese can make a big difference. Avoiding alcohol and sedatives before bed can also improve sleep quality,
Okay.
reduce apnea events.
What about CPAP machines?
CPAP, yeah.
I've heard those can be really effective.
Yeah, CPAP is still the most effective treatment for moderate to severe OSA, and it likely has significant benefits for cardiovascular health.
I can imagine.
But I know some people find them difficult to get used to.
The masks and all that stuff.
Yeah, the masks can be a bit uncomfortable at first,
Right.
but if someone understands that managing their OSA could significantly reduce their risk of a heart attack or stroke, they might be more motivated to stick with the treatment.
That's a good point.
Sometimes we need that extra motivation
Sure.
to make those lifestyle changes or commit to something like a CPAP machine.
Totally.
And this research definitely provides a compelling reason to take sleep apnea seriously.
It does, yeah.
And it's not just about AHR either.
Oh, right.
The study also had some interesting findings related to hypoxic burden.
You're right, we haven't touched on that yet.
Yeah, that measure of total oxygen deprivation and T90, the percentage of time spent with oxygen saturation below 90%.
Okay, what did they find about those?
So although HB wasn't significantly linked to CIMT in this particular study, it did show a trend toward an association.
Interesting. So it might still be an important factor to consider.
It's definitely worth investigating further.
And what about T90?
Well, T90 was actually associated with the presence of atheroma plaques,
Oh, wow.
those fatty deposits that build up inside the arteries.
So it sounds like different metrics might be highlighting different aspects of cardiovascular risk.
That's a great way to put it. It's like we're putting together a puzzle, and each piece is giving us a slightly different perspective on the overall picture.
I like that. So it's not just about focusing on one measurement.
Right.
It's about taking a more holistic view.
Exactly. It emphasizes the need for a comprehensive approach to sleep apnea assessment and management.
Okay, so to recap, we've got AHR potentially revolutionizing treatment decisions, HB and T90 adding to our understanding of risk factors,
Right.
and of course, lifestyle changes playing a crucial role as always.
Absolutely.
This is a lot to digest.
It is.
What are your final thoughts for our listeners today?
I think the biggest takeaway here is the importance of early detection.
Right.
The earlier we can identify individuals at risk, the better chance we have of preventing serious health problems down the road.
Absolutely. And this new research gives us another tool to do just that.
Exactly.
Now it's time to wrap up this deep dive with some key takeaways and a final thought-provoking question to leave you with. Okay, deep divers, time to bring it all home. It's been really fascinating looking at how sleep apnea, specifically that heart rate spike metric, AHR, could really change the game when it comes to understanding and managing heart health.
It really has opened up some new avenues for research,
For sure.
and it has the potential to significantly impact how we approach sleep apnea treatment.
Yeah, definitely. So just to recap quickly, this research suggests that AHR, that measure of how much your heart rate jumps up during those apnea events, might actually be a more powerful tool for assessing and managing cardiovascular risk
Than the traditional AHI.
than the traditional AHI. Exactly.
Yeah, and the fact that it's easily obtainable from those home sleep tests makes it even more promising. It could really make a difference in terms of early detection and personalized treatment.
Yeah, it's like,
It's like having a window into
yeah.
the stress your cardiovascular system is experiencing every night.
Yeah, pretty powerful stuff.
It is, and hopefully this knowledge will empower people to take their sleep apnea more seriously
Yeah.
and really commit to those treatment plans.
Because let's face it, sometimes we need that extra push
We do.
to make those lifestyle changes
Yeah.
or to stick with something like a CPAP machine.
Absolutely. And this research really provides that push
It does.
by highlighting the very real connection between untreated sleep apnea and long-term heart health.
So what does all this mean for you, the listener? What should you take away from this deep dive?
Well, if you've been diagnosed with sleep apnea, or even if you just suspect you might have it, I highly recommend talking to your healthcare provider about this research.
Yeah, definitely ask them about AHR and whether it's something that might be relevant for you
Exactly.
based on your own circumstances.
Your health history.
Yeah, exactly. And, if you're already undergoing treatment for sleep apnea,
Yeah.
don't hesitate to have that conversation about whether your current plan is really addressing your specific needs.
Especially in light of these new findings.
Right, exactly, because knowledge is power.
It is.
And, you know, the more you know about your own sleep apnea metrics,
Yeah.
the more you can really advocate for yourself and take control of your health.
Absolutely. This research is a great reminder that we are all ultimately in charge of our own well-being.
And that there's always more to learn, even
Aware.
about things that we think we already understand.
Right. And that even these seemingly simple metrics, like AHR, can have really profound implications for how we approach healthcare.
So keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the world of knowledge.
That's what we're all about.
That's what we're all about, exactly. All right.
Right.
And with that, we're going to leave you with a final thought-provoking question to ponder.
All right.
If AHR does indeed become the new standard for assessing sleep apnea's impact on cardiovascular health,
Yeah.
what other lifestyle factors
Good question.
might we want to consider more closely to minimize those heart rate spikes
Yeah.
during sleep?
Interesting.
Are there certain dietary changes, stress reduction techniques, or even sleep positions that could make a difference? It's definitely something to think about and explore further.
Until next time, deep divers.
Keep those brains engaged.
Keep those sleep patterns healthy.
Stay curious and sweet dreams.